Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from the W.L. Fraley Studios in beautiful Pismo Beach, California, I'm Jimmy Ray, and this is SenCal Pro Radio. Oh yeah, that's right, coming to each and every one of you live from the Central Coast, from the love of the ghost that we call... Actually, no, I really didn't have anything for that. I tried to think of something ghost and festive because we have on the show none other than the pumpkin queen of professional wrestling right now on the indie scene, Sage Sin. What is up?
Hello, hello, how are you?
Oh, man, doing awesome. I am absolutely stoked that you could join us on the show tonight. You are all over internet news right now.
Oh, I thank you. I think so, right?
Yes.
I mean, no news is better than, right? Something like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, when you're on Facebook news, when you are, like, Facebook celeb status, let me tell you, being somebody from Facebook, I can certainly tell you that when Facebook is talking about you, that means the audience is speaking up. You were all over, like, California this last weekend, weren't you?
You know, I'm trying. So, yeah, last weekend I got to NorCal. I've been there before, but, like, I kind of did, like, a little tour this weekend. So it was really cool. It's my first time, like, getting to explore the area and, like, you know, kind of have the worker experience. So it was really fun.
That's awesome. Now, where exactly did you end up?
First, I was in Oakland at Hood Slam, which, you know,
ooh,
if anyone's following Facebook, like you said, talks about Hood Slam. So, can we cuss on your show, first of all? I should have asked.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. The rating on this show always goes from PG to R easily in the first, like, 10 or 15 minutes, so feel free.
I try to ask, so I don't want to get you in trouble. But Hood Slam was fucking insane. That was unbelievable. I mean, crowds are great, but there's nothing like a Hood Slam crowd. It was pretty insane. So that was an honor to debut there. Nonetheless, against the ghosts of Charlie Chaplin and Brian Kendrick. So that was very fun. And then I found myself traveling. Yeah, that was great. And then I found myself traveling up farther to Eureka. So that was pretty awesome. I've never been that far, like, in California generally. I mean, I've been to Oregon, but, like, not that far north in California. So especially to work up there, they only get one show a year up there, which was awesome to be part of that and be part of that town's wrestling experience. That was IHWE, so that was also an honor. It was really cool to be up there.
Wow, that is so cool. You know, it's awesome when I hear about talent coming from, you know, the SoCal region, making it as far as places like Eureka and even further. I mean, to do the craft that we know and love best, I mean, that is amazing that you've taken it much further than your own fed, your own hometown and backyard. And it actually, you know, gone up and down the state now. That is pretty awesome. I want to ask you though about Hood Slam. I heard this last Hood Slam was different than previous Hood Slams. Be it that most of our male competitors were female and most of our females were male.
I think it turned out to be that way. I think Doc Atrocity said it best when he said, I think they broke the record for most cross-dressers in one night at a show. It's pretty insane. It was one of those, like, wait, is this a male or a woman? Like, okay. Then they turn around and you're like, okay, it's a male. It's okay. But it was definitely entertaining. Definitely a scene to be seen. Like, I think Brittany Wonder changed with Batman Well. They gender swapped. So, you know, things like that. It was hilarious. And it really was, it worked out great.
Oh, gotta love Brittany Wonder. There is no end to her. I mean, I have seen Brittany Wonder, you know, portraying the Ultra Girl ensemble. I have seen her as Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I can't see anything Deadpool. Like, I can't even go into Target or, like, Walmart and see Deadpool stuff on the wall and not be like, oh, Brittany Wonder, you know.
Brittany Wonder, totally. I learned, though,
yeah,
at the last little, like, match we had at AWS, why they call her Ultra Girl. She's also fucking insane. She's a great worker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, the very first time I ever saw Brittany Wonder in the ring, she faced off against a former, you know, great female of the past, Kura Hime. We haven't seen her in the ring in years. But they were in an unlucky 13 match where, I mean, I had seen a few things in my short time in pro wrestling, but to see two women in a match holding staple guns, and the object was to staple, you know, 13 $1 bills to your opponent's body, wherever the staples will go. Staples were in tongues, staples were in cheeks, staples were in butts, staples were in regions that I didn't think staples could go. That was like, and that was the night I met Brittany Wonder. And it was like,
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know? And
I've heard about that
redefined.
Match, so I love you for bringing that up.
I actually had, you know, the honor of filming that match. And I can say that the footage is in process right now. You know, UWU will have that footage out hopefully soon. But, yeah, I have been caretaker. I have been like the R2-D2 meets, you know, Frodo of this digital information. And I have been bearing and holding
Lucky
it
you.
For a long time. Right, I know, you know. And let's hope my hard drives don't die or anything. But, yeah, I've been maintaining that footage because that was a night that I think few wrestling fans, you know, obviously few fans saw. But even more fans heard about, and yet that's still people still to this day talking about. Oh my gosh, you know, there was a staple match where over 50,000 staple or not staples tacks rather thrown all over the ground. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen that many thumbtacks. I mean, I had more thumbtacks in my shoes than I've seen on the special bulletin boards in kindergartners' classes. You know, it's like it was pretty insane, and to think, wow, that's NorCal wrestling for you. You can't expect anything from wrestling when you go north. Of the Central Coast border, if San Luis Obispo was the borderline between North and South California, the wrestling is truly extreme from point to point. You got to admit. I mean, I've seen some extreme stuff with you guys in L.A., but heck, you know, if a show full of cross-dressers isn't extreme, I don't know what isn't, you know, what is. My whole prowess of extreme or not is invalid at that point because Hood Slam has got to be the most extreme show I think I've ever seen. I mean, it is truly the most unique wrestling, you know, concert, theater, opera, cross-dressing shows. Did I say opera? it's just one of those things where they are so unique. People really should come from other states to just experience Hood Slam once.
I was honored to witness it for my first time and to be part of it for the first time because I've heard about it, but to actually be there, you know, I was like checking it out. And then, you know, I was honored to be asked to be part of it, just kind of floating around. So it worked out that way. I was just, you know, trying to hang out just to capture the crowd, which is already insane. But I mean, both shows that I worked at, there were like workers and fans from different states. So it was really cool how NorCal kind of just draws in all those people from different places.
It's unbelievable the amount of people that Hood Slam can draw. I mean, I know this is SenCal Pro Radio, but we're showing love to Hood Slam right now because, I mean, when you have a show where you can sell out a house, where you can actually get to the point where over 1,000 people come to this show in an almost religious, you know, aversion, they absolutely must be there one day out of every month on the same night to the point where they actually
and they get
have
a
to
line
turn
down
people
that
away.
Mm-hmm.
They do, and it's
I mean,
the
it
line just
rainy.
Goes and goes.
It was raining when I pulled up, and there was still a line there. And I think it's kind of like, hello, PG era is not working. Hello, go back to, you know, Attitude Era. Go back to Rated R. Go back to, you know, aggressive. Like, people like in-your-face wrestling. They don't want, like,
Absolutely.
Oh, is that okay for you? You know, I mean, like you said, it's a totally different definition of, like, extreme.
It is. Absolutely. I mean, you've absolutely nailed it on the head there. And so many of the superstars that, you know, are over at Hood Slam, it's like they are a combination. People have seen these stars from all over the place, other feds, well-established, and have been watching them wrestle for years. Yet when they show up and don, you know, Street Fighter characters, Mortal Kombat characters, I'm pretty sure I even saw Zelda and the Karate Kid out there, and hats off to Matt Carlos, who still gave me my greatest wrestling moment ever when I got to see Matty McFly come back from 1985 to help Daniel San wrestle in a match. It's like, you give me that in pro wrestling, you give me that on a stage, you give me that in a movie, and you got my heart forever. And
I'll give you one better.
Right?
Like, I have, you know, whereas I wrestled with Chupacabra, like, I've managed him, been lucky enough. And to see Chupacabra turn into Storm? I'm sorry, wait, Storm with full-on, what, double Ds, maybe? You know what I mean? And the crowd eats it up. Not to mention my Man Crush Monday, my Woman Crush Wednesday went out to, of course, Christina Von Eri as Hercules and Sheik as Xena. I mean, you know, you just can't get that kind of entertainment anywhere else. It's wrestling, you know? It's just wrestling.
Right. It is wrestling to the likes of which, you know, if people have seen, they should be considered lucky. If they haven't seen, they really should be making arrangements to go check them out because, you know, it's what is it? It's the same. It's the first Friday of every month, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
I believe so. I mean, that is talk about commitment, you know, and that's what it takes to be an established pro wrestling show. You got to be committed. You got to pick your dates. You got to stand strong to them. And that's why, you know, SenCal Pro, we realized, okay, fine, we're the newest wrestling company out right now. So our effort was to not compete with anybody, and we're bringing back wrestling on Sundays. You know, we've had, you know, a lot of our friends do wrestling on Saturdays. You know, big shout out to UEW. A lot of other friends do shows on Fridays, you know, big throw to Hoodslam.
Right, right.
So what about the Sunday wrestling show? And so that's kind of what we wanted to bring back. Sunday, you know, post-afternoon wrestling show, bell time at 5 p.m. You know, that way by the we're hoping to not even compete with, you know, UFC shows on pay-per-view, you know, because really we don't want people to feel like they're missing anything by getting the latest thing that the Central Coast offers in the way of pro wrestling. And I could not be happier that you are a part of SenCal Pro. You are unique, Sage Sen. You are a character that deserves a comic book. Most comic books deserve characters. You're like
I appreciate
character.
That.
It's like, what was that?
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm honored to have been asked to be part of it, and I can't wait. Like, again, you know, it's just different kind of spots in California that I'm excited to hit, but also just people to work with and people that are open and excited to work. You know what I mean? That's the thing I love about SenCal. It's we're all just a bunch of anxious workers, you know, and you can't ask for anything else than that.
Right. You know, and it's funny because I remember meeting you. Do you remember when we met? It was a brief, hey, how's it going, handshake at the Cauliflower Alley Club. You were just sitting in a chair.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
I didn't know who you were because I didn't, you know, recognize you outside of your makeup. And, you know, granted, you know, like Kiss, everyone, anyone who wears very prominent makeup, you know, when you are outside of said makeup, you get to be anonymous in the crowd. That is your gift as a performer. And you were absolutely anonymous in the crowd. And it was a pleasure meeting you then, and I was like, oh, okay, Sage Sen, right. And then actually seeing you in the ring, I mean, honestly, I've seen a lot of people who are a lot of flair and a lot of, you know, great pictures. They put themselves out there. They know how to work it, but they're not the real deal in the ring. It's almost as though, like, their character got invented first, and then their in-ring ability will someday blossom from that. And I truly feel
that's not what
we get from you. I honestly, from seeing your very first match in the ring, I mean, it was nothing short of, you know, a fast-paced, fast action. I mean, I saw you take some unbelievable bumps that I shouldn't expect a man or woman or animal or even a falling building
so
at times
tiny.
To take.
Aw, that's why they call me a creature.
So when I heard about all this, and I said, wow, I go, that little one got thrown around like that in the ring? Where is she from? And I did my research, figured out that, Sage Sen Supreme, yes, there is, you know, they add the third name to it. She was holding quite the legacy, you know, with another such Supreme. And there was quite the storyline following you over at UEW and other places. And it was like, it had all come together, and I thought, wow. I'm like, you were an all-around impressive package. You had the talent,
you
had the in-ring ability, and
I'm
going to
hire
look.
You.
Like,
oh, you're so kind. No, seriously, you're so kind, though, but, like, you're making me, like, blush. Like, I'm going to hire you just to be like, okay, this is my fucking hype man from now on. Sorry.
Well, see, it's hard to know when the Pumpkin Queen is blushing under the mask, under the makeup. You never know when she's blushing. And that's
well,
I think, part
so
of the
funny.
Magic that is Sage Sen.
It's funny, like, you say that, though, because, like, I mean, I guess I'm used to, I kind of came in announcing and managing, so, like, I like to have my two faces, you know, my wrestling face, my managing face, but you can't really escape the green hair, the purple hair, it's a little obvious, but, so I'm glad you think that I can be anonymous.
Well, you can totally be anonymous. Now, the green hair, it's like, that's just another chick with green hair who just came to see the show, and at a wrestling show, you know, you kind of expect that, but, I mean, Speaking of green hair, I know that I and you are not the first people to use this term when speaking about you. TMZ had a little bit to say about you. And didn't they refer to you as green hair? Like, didn't you actually
get a nickname from
TMZ?
I guess I became the green-haired girl somewhat. So I shouldn't dye my hair, right? But,
well,
you know,
that's
there's a cool story with that ended up, very, very similar to Hood Slam Freak Show, like from Vegas to now luckily over to our hometown, Los Angeles, or, well, you know, SoCal, California area, I should say. But having Freak Show here was really great. You know, Sin Bodhi and everything, I guess there's that one guy that works at TMZ that's pretty into wrestling, and he so happened to be there and picked up the story with the ghost of Whitney Houston. So that was super awesome, and I guess it turned into the green-haired girl, which is, you know, better than that one girl, right?
Oh, I know. Yeah, that one girl, or move the camera, or get out of the way of the shot of the celebrity. That's usually what they call me, but, you know, and it's kind of funny. At some point, they'll be like, maybe they'll go back to old footage and be like, oh, that weird guy doing the creep in the background. I guess that was, apparently that was Jimmy Ray, you know, and no one really still don't, you know. But that is so awesome to get notoriety from a group like TMZ, because, you know, TMZ is known for, you know, really tearing people apart, you know, worse than, you know, Angry Wrestling Promoter and Trash Bag Wrestler combined. And they're known for really being vicious at times, and it's nice to hear that they were actually pretty kind to you.
Well, there were plenty of online angry people, but it was more towards the respect of Whitney Houston. You know what I mean? But it's wrestling. Nothing's done with respect, disrespect. I mean, everything's done with respect. Nothing's done with disrespect. It's all for the love of show. Like, you know, I don't know. Everyone had a good time with it. So overall, it was glad to see that the TV was happy with it too. So it was cool.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. Is it almost seems like pro wrestling is going to always be at the scrutiny of someone's,
right,
you know, like anger, or that's, you know, it's inappropriate for kids, or so they're always going to have something nay to say about pro wrestling. And it just sort of seems like, you know, there's a lot of stigmas. I hear this term break the stigma. I keep hearing, you know, that, you know, be used all around in today's media. And it almost seems like the stigma of pro wrestling needs to be broken. However, having that been said, you know, having matches against the ghost of Whitney Houston kind of sets back that movement a little bit. But that's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't think we in pro wrestling will ever truly be understood by, well, anyone but our audience. And I think that's
why
not a
there's
bad
nothing like
thing.
A pro wrestling fan.
Right. You know, it's not necessarily, you know, no one should see that as a bad thing. You know, if your audience gets you, well, that was who we were trying to please. And everyone else, if you don't get us, you need to try and get us, or keep saying stuff about us, because the more you say anything about pro wrestling, that's the funny thing about pro wrestling. It doesn't have to be good or bad, because once you mention it, it gets people to tune in. You know, whether you're the bad guy, whether you're the good guy, you know, it's whether it's a good promotion, it's the bad promotion. We like these guys, we hate these guys, and we think we know inside stuff. All, you know, the fans out there who all think they know, and most of them probably do, but, you know, it's like to be a fan at any stage of fandom, whether you're a beginning fan, intermediate fan, know the business, have been in the business, or just simply love the business, it's nice to be able to know that, like, you know, the stars can go to many places. You know, we don't have to, you know, we see you in just one place and, oh, crap, you know, if we can't make it to Los Angeles, well, we're screwed. We don't get to see stage.
Yeah,
and it's like,
that's true.
That's not exactly the case. And it's good to see that, you know, you're making your ways out there, because honestly, like, you know, it's I like seeing the diversity of wrestlers out there. You know, I see too many shows where they don't have a women's match at all. And it kind of a letdown. It's kind of like, wow, really? Like, I know there wasn't a shortage of female wrestlers. So either, you know, the booking department needs to kind of consider that and, you know, remember who their demographic is first off, you know, hello, you know, and second, you know, understand that there really is awesome female talent, because, I mean, I have seen you in the ring at other places, and just, I mean, honestly, you've raised the bar, I personally think, for a lot of, you know, the stunts that people think, and by stunts, I really mean just putting your body at risk, you know, flying in and out of rings, over tables, near tables, you know. Heck, at UEW, I saw you shatter an entire light tube over a dude's head. I mean, just like, you know,
it's becoming a common thing for me.
Yeah, you know, and it's like you kind of, boy, like, you don't just come out and parade your wares. It's like, you know, as soon as that, you know, the lantern hits and we see the pumpkin face, it's like there is going to be catastrophe. You're kind of like a, like, you know, the Puck of Oberon with, you know, a pumpkin face. You know, you're like this, you know, you're a jester in origin, but you have powers of the mysterious. And it's like, to be able to see you contend with hardcore wrestlers, to see you be able to contend with, like, the best of the women's division, you really got a bright career ahead of you, and I really hope to see so much more of you in the ring. And it's like, I can't wait to see you debut with us. I mean, we got you. Do you know your opponent yet? Have they even told you?
They haven't mentioned any. I was going to turn the table on you and say, "Do you know my opponent?" Because I have not quite positive. Maybe you might know. I'm going to fish from you.
I don't mind giving that a little bit of info here. I mean, come on, this is SenCal Pro League. I suppose we can let out some secrets and talk about stuff.
Right.
I have heard word that your opponent may be the fallen flower Kikyo Nakamura. Now, I don't know if she's Kikyo Nakamura anymore, because when I saw the name, it just said the fallen flower Kikyo, which technically can be somebody else. So there is a 10%, 11% possibility, right, that it's totally somebody
all
else.
Right.
But then it's solid, like, 80-90% chance it's
another blueberry
Kikyo.
Fallen flower. That's interesting.
Yeah,
well,
she is, I'll tell you,
I'll get into her.
Wearing the colors blue, you're going to impress us at SenCal real quick wearing blue colors, because, you know, wearing the proud blue colors, that is definitely our, you know, our trademark flag color is certainly, you know, the blue and silver and black. You know, we're bringing back some really old school traditional colors. And, you know, a girl dressed in blue with blue hair and blue mist, I have seen a lot of things blue from her corner. And honestly, it's no surprise that she wants a piece of the SenCal action, too.
You're all wrong. No, you're all wrong. It's all about green, about some green mist, maybe some red mist, like green hair. You've got the wrong color. Sorry. But, you know, to get into a little bit about female, like, I'm super passionate about female wrestling, you know what I mean? Because you're right, there's not a shortage, but there is a shortage. Bums me out that we don't have the same opportunities as male competitors. Like, I don't know, most males can get on the card pretty easily, maybe not. It depends where you are in your, you know, career, I guess. But as a female, I feel like we have to work extra hard so we can prove that we can have that one spot on your card. If there's even another female, maybe they feel like throwing in the ring, which kind of sucks that they think like, oh, well, it's just a female, let's put them out there. It's like, no, it's so, you know, treat us the same as you treat a male competitor. Give us that respect. Give us that story. I hate being part of a company that just wants to keep you like under the rug, part of something like, I don't know. If you're out there doing something, why not push that? You know what I mean? I can get into other things like that. But just with female talent and whatnot, with California, Las Vegas, I mean, Nevada, like Arizona, there's so few of us. So it's just to, like, fight for your spot and do what we have to do. I mean, and get a little hardcore with that. Like, I don't know. It makes you passionate, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, and being a supreme and being starting to get into, like, hardcore stuff like that. That's now when I think about Kikyo again, when you bring in her name. Her and I have had our first, like, official death match together at UEW, which was really awesome, and which was amazing to get such good feedback from that, because something with, like, Kikyo and a couple other of the competitors out here, like Rays, they're not afraid to hold back. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing better than getting the opponent that's just down kick ass, you know, go head-to-head and just have a good fight and show, put everything out there on the line. You know what I mean? So that's just,
absolutely.
I'm looking forward to working if that is my opponent, to go back full circle to that. I'm looking forward to it. I think we will bring something exciting to SenCal. So it should be fun.
That is pretty awesome you say that, because I was really hoping that was going to be our match, because if that's going to be our match, that is going to be quite a solid women's division match, and I really think that is going to define the women's division here at SenCal Pro, and I really think that the women's division in all wrestling federations needs to be defined. I mean, granted, the women's division, you know, it shouldn't be they shouldn't make all the girls compete against all the guys, because quite frankly, there's, you know, way larger guys than there are girls, and that's a little unfair.
Right.
So to keep it in the division,
I agree.
That's fine. But the division needs to be, I think, exactly recognized and brought to the table exactly the same way that the men's division is, you know, to not be seen, mm-hmm. you know, as any different. You know, granted, like, you know, there's the difference between softball and baseball, but at the same time, why not give it the same recognition? I mean, there's more women on the planet than there are men. Let's face it. So I know there are enough viable candidates to fill an entire female league of whatever there is in the men's division. And if not, that gives room for a lot of hungry females for that top spot in those different sports teams. And, like, I've seen women's division in football, seen women's division in other sports, and they're just mm-hmm. as hardcore as the guys. They're lighter, they're faster, they can usually jump higher, but they are as hardcore as it gets in every sport, and it's like to not feature them is a complete waste of any fan's time.
But you know what I love about wrestling, though? It's interesting. Someone brought this up to me. I was having a conversation with someone, like yes, there are women's division of everything, but
mm-hmm.
wrestling, you get to see, like, again, not all the time, because it doesn't always make sense. And that's the thing with wrestling, is wrestling should always make sense. I hate when wrestling doesn't make sense, because it should be fun and it should be that emotion that you get into, that you want to get into. You know what I mean? But
oh yeah.
Oh, I hate when I totally just get totally off track.
Well,
I get too passionate
about
storyline.
Wrestling, just like a, you know, any story, almost like a song. You know, if a song only plays mm-hmm. for 3 minutes, it's got to tell a story or at least go somewhere. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of happy words, and they call that a Colby Calais track. So, you know, either your song tells a story or you're just making a bunch of rhyming words like a baby. And either
yeah.
your match tells a story or you're just a spot fest where you're just doing a bunch of things to show off what you can do, and it just looks like a bunch of gymnasts showing off move after move, and it doesn't look like two people competing in a ring. And
I mean,
it's like, sure,
I think,
you know, you oh, go ahead.
The bigger thing, like, a lot lately, you see, again, bringing back to Facebook and stuff, and I'm still green in my own career, but I still have a couple years under my belt, and I've seen a lot of, like, workers that go out there and don't give a shit about, like we're saying, about that song. You know what I mean? They just want to get their shit in.
Right.
It's cool to get your shit in to a degree, but at the same time, make it make sense. Make that, like, there's just that element between old-fashioned wrestling classics and now, where it's great to see all this amazing stuff, but at least, you know, tell that story to the audience. Give them a minute to breathe. That's great if you don't need to breathe, but the audience needs to breathe, you know what I mean, to process what you're doing and just to be
right.
respectful to wrestling. You know what I mean? There's a lot of just workers out there that I think shit on the business, to be honest, and it hurts to see, and I think they need to get put in check, but, you know, there's karma. Karma's always one thing. But, okay, I kind of remembered what I was saying again. You get bumped in the head a lot in wrestling, and you get
right.
you go in and out of thoughts.
Sure.
But, like, with wrestling, you see women's wrestling, which is amazing. You see men's wrestling, and you see your women's division. But it is great when you do get to see women versus men and, like, you know, that story when it's, like, I don't know. It just kind of builds it up, kind of like a David Goliath, but, like, anything you can do, I can do better. You know what I mean?
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so
and,
it's just
know,
great
it,
that we can get in there with them, go toe-to-toe sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And it's great to see you guys compete in that regard, you know, and it's great to kind of show that, like, anybody, and I don't mean, like, anybody, like, literally, oh, everybody could do this, but, I mean, when it comes to any trained person in the ring, if they know what they're doing, size truly doesn't matter. And really,
right.
if size is truly the only difference between men and women when it comes to wrestling, well, then I go back
mm-hmm.
to rule number one. Size doesn't matter. Being a woman shouldn't matter. Being a man shouldn't matter. To be honest, I have seen the likes of Andrea the Giant just destroy men and women alike in the ring and just go completely crazy. And I have seen the small stature of the likes of, you know, Sage Sin. And the likes of, you know, Hudson Envy, where, you know, might be a small order, but man, do they pack a punch. And it just, it goes to show that, like, there really isn't a difference between the men and women's division. If you're a good wrestler, there shouldn't
mm-hmm.
be a women's match. Damn it, it should just
yeah.
be a match, just like the men's match.
Yeah,
are.
A wrestling match, of course. I
right.
mean, like, I've had,
you know,
wonderful matches with Seville Averroes. And I've also had wonderful matches. Like, just last weekend, I got to wrestle against Andre the Giant. You know what I mean? Like, total size difference. But it didn't really matter if it was male or female.
Yeah, well, Andre the Giant, I mean, it doesn't matter if you were male, female. It doesn't even matter if you're a mythical creature. If you were on the other side of the ring from Andre the Giant, there is a good chance that someone will collect a fossil of your foot and say it is a collector's item of an endangered species, because you will not last very long.
It's possible. It's possible that me and my opponent used a sledgehammer and a chair. But I'm just saying it's possible. But you know what I mean? When you have a giant that big, I'm going to sometimes use some dirty tactics. But, I mean, that's besides the point.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when it comes to you know, facing an absolute, you know, like, titan of a creature, and that's of myth, folklore, or even of reality, sometimes it takes, you know, a heavenly sword, if you will, to strike a beast
like that.
There
you go. You are awesome.
See that? We're on the same level, Sage, you and I. I think that's why I fit so well with you guys at UEW. I got to say, honestly, I felt so welcomed at your guys' show last week. I mean, it was so awesome to just be backstage and see. Basically, you guys have been on my turf enough times, and I got to be on your guys' turf for once. And it was pretty cool, man. You guys have such an awesome vibe in that locker room. I mean, really,
everyone's so
with it. I mean, hours and hours and hours before the show, here we were all hanging out. And honestly, I was getting like anxiety going, oh crap, shouldn't we be doing this? Shouldn't we do that? And no, it was already done because it was done ahead of time because you guys knew what you were going to do that day. You came in, set up, and you had enough time to relax. And it's like,
that is
boy,
a wonderful production crew.
Right? That was the two turntables and a microphone of professional wrestling right there. I mean, it really proved that, you know, you just put it together and let it play. And that's really
that is
an awesome vibe that I hope that we can try and capture and also have at SenCal, because I mean really, you know, there's no in the world of professional wrestling, I'm pretty sure they have told every story. I'm positive. Every story has already been told. Go ahead. I was going to say, if every story's ever been told, well, then we've already gone there. We've already told the story. Now it's time to change up the stories. It's time to do it all again. And I think, end of stories and new beginnings, I think, is a great way of, you know, putting it. Because so many people know Kikyo. So many people know Sage. They know Sledge. They've heard of, you know, they've seen you guys at so many other places. And now, yet again, to see you guys once again come together. You know, at UEW, you guys just over there really do have it. You just have it. And I have a feeling that now with your guys' this new venue, you've moved. The underground has come above ground, it almost seems. And that kind of being the case, I have a feeling your crowds will just keep on growing.
Oh, well, that's, you know, definitely the hope. Thank you so much that you see that. That's really great, you know, especially someone that's familiar with the business to, like, see that. So we really appreciate that. But with UEW, they really focus on, you know, kind of building a family and building their core and whatnot. So it's like, it's funny. We have total open arms, you know what I mean? But at the same time, our next show is totally standing for fuck the world. You know what I mean? And I think that you guys at SenCal totally embody that too. You know what I mean? You guys are a total family, I can tell, from, you know, different people, but we're all coming together for the same cause. All you guys at SenCal, the core of SenCal, I can tell you guys, you know, with your open arms, but at the same stance, fuck the world. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's great.
Absolutely. And it seems like it really is truly one big family, because we've all gone on the road with each other, if not in the same cars, to the same shows. We've all dealt with the same people. We've all been to good shows. We've all been to marginal shows. And the one consistent factor is we've all been there with each other for one reason or another. And it's nice to have, yet again, another platform for each and every one of you stars. And I got to just say stars. You guys truly are stars. I can't really, like, decide between the men and the women, the monsters and the myths, you know, the small creatures and the larger creatures. You're all stars. And to bring stars to the beach, to the Central Coast, to San Luis Obispo, I mean, it's like we're bringing some of the greatest stars from UEW, some of the greatest stars out from APW. I mean, Rick Luxury's going to be on the show. I mean, this is going to be a combination of so many other great companies, and to be able to work with just federations like UEW, you know, throws out, you know, to, you know, the Gold Rush guys, everyone at APW, Hood Slam, even, you know, Johnny Plinko. We're going to get Johnny Plinko on the Central Coast. Like, that just blows my mind that so many stars that we have deserved to see wrestle here. Daniel Torch, I mean, Eli Everfly, the return of Eli Everfly on the Central Coast. I mean, it's going to be the party that everybody wants to get in on. And it's going to be a party built off of respect, because we've all been there and we've all shared that story. We've all shared, you know, the road, you know, or the,
Buddy
Roy likes to call it the loop, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just traveling with Rick Lecture and Levi Shapiro. So all I heard was the loop.
Yeah, the loop. That's that inside term. So if you've heard the loop, that means you must have been on it. And, you know, and apparently riding these guys, you know, Rick Lugery, great example. No weekend warrior. He eats, lives, and breathes professional wrestling. He truly is wrestling personified. And, I mean, he is wrestling embodied. I mean, he's a great example of what anybody who thinks they can make it in this business, he is one of the greatest examples of how far you can get with that. I mean, more titles than, you know, most cork boards have room to put titles on. You know what I mean? Like, it's amazing to be able to, and I myself have shared a few car rides with Rick Lugery. I got to say, he's an awesome guy, hell of a guy to talk to. Even guys like Bobby Hart, even, you know, out at Bushido, and just so many other people that I've seen on the road, seeing him for the first time at UEW was amazing. And it's like, it just seems like every time I go to some of these neutral grounds, APW, UEW, I see so many familiar faces. And it really pleases me to know that we're all still working together.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's like the nice thing about, like, it's cool to see with wrestling, you meet all these different people or kind of see like, oh yeah, I've heard of him, I've seen him, and then to actually get to meet them, get to watch them work, or even meet workers from other states or just different areas. It's really cool. It's amazing how small the world is, but even wrestling, like, it really is that circle of trust, that circle of friendship. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even have to really know that worker, just the fact that you're another worker. Suddenly there's that bond, and then you get in the ring with them.
Right.
Fuck, that's your brother. That's your sister for life now.
Now, I haven't exactly gotten in the ring, you know, to my like own discretion. I have been thrown in the ring and I've been used as a prop in the ring, so it has happened.
That
I try to stay
that
out of the
counts.
Ring. Unless, unless I have a microphone in my hand, I feel like a microphone in my hand. I feel like a Jedi. You know, like, okay, fine. I got my lightsaber in my hand. Anybody messes with me, they're going down.
Nice.
I know that's really not the case, but Dumbo needed a feather to fly. And, well, Jimmy Ray needs a lightsaber to get in the ring. So, yeah. But, I mean, that's as close as my involvement has ever been able to take me. You know, being, you know, an announce person in the ring, but just being able to announce you guys coming to the ring, to share a spotlight, even for a moment, even if I'm walking out of it as you guys take it, I got to say, it is truly an honor to be able to announce such great talents, to be able to be considered one of the guys by you guys, and that is not me saying that. That is what people have told me. It is truly an honor to be accepted into the family of you guys, because the family of wrestlers.
I'm sitting here like, what are you talking about? You got it all wrong. You're just as much part of the boys, the girls, whatever, if not more so. I mean, when they talk about paying dues, shit. There's no doubt that, you know what I mean? You're just as every much part of, it's just respect, you know what I mean? And there's just as much respect for you doing what you do. You know what I mean? Like, there's no doubt in that. I totally respect you for what you do.
Thank you so much. You know, I really appreciate hearing that. It's, you know, not very often do you ever really get, you know, doing what I do, if you're ever in the background doing, you know, camera work, you're doing announcing work, creative work, whatever it is that you're contributing to the show, even if you're just out there flyering or telling people about what's going on, a lot of the times that does get overlooked. And not that anyone in that position, you know, deserves the recognition, but I think anybody who helps make a show run is just as much part of the family as anyone else. And that was something I really felt from you guys over at UEW, and it feels good to be able to kind of return that favor to, you know, fellow UEW brothers and sisters and other folks from wrestling feds everywhere. And it kind of seems like if we can set this example of what wrestling, you know, indie pro wrestling brotherhood and sisterhood can really be like, I think this can really usher in the new era. And I've been saying this before, I truly think the next coming of the Monday Night War is going to be indie pro versus the WWE. And in that, they're going to see a dramatic decline in fans from the WWE Network, things like that, because all of a sudden, indie pro is going to be on the rise. WWE is going to notice that. I don't think Vince McMahon doesn't notice when his competition rises again. And it's like, I'm calling it early. Ray Stradamus calls it early and says that the second coming of the Monday Night War. Right, you know, we got like, think, you know, we got acts like Lucha Underground making its way, to, you know, to prime time, and it's like, you know, being actually on TV and stuff, and it's like, holy crap, like, you know, indie pro wrestling is really getting noticed right now, and it's so cool that, like, it kind of seems like in the old days, like Paul Revere days, like, you know, if you had like torches in every like city to keep the, you know, the torch lights going to make sure all the, you know, counties are united. It's cool to see yet again another torch come up here with us at SenCal. And it's like, who do we have? The same people that are already carrying such proud torches elsewhere. And it's like, not to be confused with Daniel Torch, of course, because he's a proud torch. But my point is, you know,
we can use him.
You understand it. Yeah, Daniel Torch, he is no stranger to UEW, no stranger in a pro wrestling machine. I've seen him at Fighting Spirit Pro. I mean, Daniel Torch is everywhere.
I meant literally as a torch, though. Like, you know, it's for the better cause, brother. It's okay. It's, I'm just kidding.
Right. Oh, yeah. Real torches, too. But, you know, Sage, it is so good, you know, to hear really such positive things about the industry because, you know, a lot of people, you know, in the wrestling world can become jaded, you know, after a while and really kind of, you know, have, you know, negative things to say. Which, you know, is you know, for the territory with any job, anyone that, you know, really has you know, been eaten up by their industry, whatever that may be, can certainly have animosity or anger towards it. And it's like, it almost seems like when they say, like, pay your dues, I think that that's more of a figurative statement that never ends. You never stop paying your dues.
That's true.
It's almost like,
that is definitely
it's like you
true.
Never stop paying your Verizon bill. You never stop paying your insurance. You know, it's like one of those things where it's like,
truth.
If you want to continue service, you want to maintain this relationship, it's one of those
it
things
totally
that you always
be like
have
a
to
service
put in,
announcement.
You know.
If you'd like to continue your service, please deposit 25 more cents. You're like, fuck, I thought I did already. Damn it.
Right, yes. You know, it's exactly like that. It's totally one of those things where it's like, you know, there's several things in life where you have to maintain them, and usually you're paying some kind of thing. If it's not your credit card, if it's not your hard-earned cash, you're putting something into it because the only way to get something out of anything is to put something in first. So to be able to, like, put into play. If we're going to take out of pro wrestling, that means we got to put in a lot more than we take out. And if we put in more than we take out, this just means nothing but better product for everyone. So show to show, city to city, people are putting on better shows because it's the same people everywhere. So it's like,
I was
gonna you
say,
guys
you'd
put
hope.
On a good show.
But yeah,
you know,
no, you're
you
right,
on,
though, with the people that...
Yeah, we expect to see it here. You know, and once we've seen what you're capable of here, it's kind of like the green line of, oh, my gosh, I'd watch them wrestle anywhere. Like, oh, my God, they do hardcore? Like, you know, and you find out there's just so many facets to what you guys do. And I think your guys' exposure, you know, here in San Luis Obispo, I think is really going to resonate because we're going to have some real-life characters that the people of San Luis Obispo can actually relate to. This is one of the very weird, rarest places where everything that is organic and homegrown and local here in San Luis Obispo ends up surviving a very long time because this is one of those community-oriented places where, you know, if you are really part of the Central Coast, you will survive as long as you want to. And so to be able to bring wrestlers to San Luis Obispo, I think is going to be one of the greatest convergences. Well, since the last time wrestling came to San Luis Obispo, that was several years ago.
Okay.
Right? So, I mean, it's been a long time since San Luis Obispo has been home to pro wrestling. Sure, they've had wrestling, you know, in other counties, but San Luis Obispo County, there's several, you know, towns in San Luis Obispo County. You know, 2 years ago, I think Tascadero was the very last place in San Luis Obispo County to have a wrestling show. Prior to that, it was just a few years ago even, you know, or a few years before that. Needless to say, there's been less than 5 wrestling shows in San Luis Obispo County in the last 5 years. So,
that's funny because it's a college town. You know what I mean?
You would think so, right? You know, the demographics
there. And, like, Pismo Beach.
Yeah, absolutely. So, SenCal Pro is featuring the hottest stars of the Indie Pro. Sage Sin, we got to close the show now, but where can our fans find you to find out more about you?
Well, definitely check out UW, which is awesome of you to feature so much. We've got Fuck the World coming up February 21st, and we're opening our underground arena, which is going to be awesome. We're going to have the School of Professional Wrestling opening March 7th over there. So check out uewwrestling.com for all that. I will be there on the 21st. I'm not sure for what. Something about Rob Black's handpicked opponent. It should be interesting. I'm not sure. So we'll see about that.
Nice.
We've got UEW, WPW on the 22nd in Anaheim for my birthday. I'm excited for that. And then let's see, 28th is Freak Show Wrestling. And on the, let's see, on the 6th of March is FS Pro up north. I'll be wrestling Savannah Riley again. Excited for that.
Awesome.
On the 7th,